Salve, sube, sino, pugi,
Hola, amigo, indeed. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, it's Sam Cedar. It is the day of Christmas Eve, or other people might refer to it as Christmas Eve Day. And for you today, in addition to the wonderful musical stylings of my daughter, I have for you three clips. One clip is, of course, my favorite appearance on television. I am talking about the time that I went on CNN to debate the war on Christmas. That was a lot of fun. I'm trying to keep it light today. Sort of. I guess sort of light. And the next clip is from the old Majority Report, where John Benjamin, of Dr. Katz fame, of Archer fame, of Bob's, soon-to-be Bob's Burgers fame, of home movies fame, and he has his own show coming up on Comedy Central in a couple of months, was guest hosting. And we had an interview with, well, I think you may recognize the guest in some way, but he was talking about the idea of saving Christmas from the Jews. And then finally, we hear from Sarah Posner, and her book, which of course this is back from 2008, on Christian fundamentalists. So enjoy, have a wonderful Christmas tomorrow if you celebrate it. If you don't celebrate Christmas, have a wonderful Christmas. I know how good it can be to not celebrate Christmas on Christmas, if you, or let's say, just not at your in-laws' house. Just, I mean, as an example. Or just you're hanging out not with any family and you're just sitting at home playing video games. That can be very, 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 very wonderful. In the meantime, enjoy this. On Monday, another great two hits from hit from the book show. It'll be Nixon Land, Rick Perlstein's great book. I'll be talking to him for almost 45 minutes. This is from Cedar on Sunday. And then Monday night, tune in. I'll be subbing for Keith Olbermann on Countdown, as well as on Tuesday. Tuesday there'll be a live show, and Wednesday there'll be a live Majority Report as well, and I'll be on Countdown both those nights. So folks, enjoy. Have a great Christmas and a great weekend.
Well, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays, a Christmas tree or a holiday tree? Which should it be? Depends on whom you ask. We've seen controversy, most notably prompted by the White House. It sent out cards, this card, matter of fact, wishing a holiday season of hope and happiness. No mention of Christmas. Some thoughts now on the subject. Sam Teeter hosts the show Majority Report on Air America Radio. Bob Knight is the director of the Culture and Family Institute. It's affiliated with the Christian conservative organization Concerned Women for America. Gentlemen, great to have you with me.
Thanks for having us on.
All right, well, let's start with the holiday card. What do you think, Sam?
Well, listen, you know, as far as the war on Christmas goes, I feel like we should be waging a war on Christmas. I mean, I believe that Christmas, it's almost proven that Christmas has nuclear weapons, can be an imminent threat to this country, that they have operative ties with terrorists, and I believe that we should sacrifice thousands of American lives in pursuit of this war on Christmas. And hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer money.
Well, Sam, is it a war on Christmas, a war on Christians, a war on over political correctness, or just a lot of people with way too much time on their hands?
Well, I would say probably, if I was to be serious about it, too much time on their hands. But I'd like to get back to the operational ties between Santa Claus and Al-Qaeda.
I don't think that exists. Bob?
Well, we have
help
intelligence.
Me out here.
We have intelligence.
You
we have intelligence.
You have intel. And where exactly does your intel come from?
Well, we have tortured an elf, and that's it's actually how we got the same information from Al Labee. That's exactly the same way the Bush administration got this info about the operational ties between Al-Qaeda and Saddam.
Okay, Bob Knight. Sam is tying in now the lack of information regarding weapons of mass destruction and somehow moving that into Santa Claus. Help me out here. What's going on? I mean, is this a war on Christians, a war on Christmas? Is this too much political correctness?
Yeah, that, well, it was very, first I want to compliment him on his dry humor, but this is actually a very serious subject because a lot of people are waking up to realize that the war on Christmas is really the culmination of a war on faith. And the idea that the public square has to be cleansed of any religious expression, particularly Christian religious expression. You know, at one time, Happy Holidays was a welcome addition to Merry Christmas. So you wouldn't say the same thing over and over again. But a lot of people now see it as a substitute. And it's very gratuitous at times. And it's actually insulting when you're talking about Christmas Day or a Christmas tree, and you can't bring yourself to use the word for fear of offending someone. In the name of diversity, we're a less free country when that happens.
It's interesting, Sam, because, I mean, this is a time where, if anything, we want to be even more sensitive to diversity, considering everything that's happening with regard to war on terror. We're learning so much more about different religions, different ethnicities, and trying to become more of one versus being segregated.
Yeah, well, Kara, I mean, listen, I would like Bob to tell me who is the person who has been offended by someone saying Merry Christmas to them. I've never met that person. I don't celebrate Christmas. But if someone says Merry Christmas to me, and I either think, well, it's a little bit odd. It's like me saying happy birthday to you on my birthday. But, you know, no one cares. But I'll tell you this. As we wage the war on the war on the war on the war on Christmas on our radio show, News Corp, Fox News, those people who have started this entire war on Christmas meme, fake war, they're having a holiday party. President Bush saying happy holidays. Tokyo Rose, Laura Bush, saying happy holidays to her dogs in the video. I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, these are the things that we should be talking about when we are waging this war in Iraq. We should be equating it to the war on Christmas. What else would Bob Knight have an opportunity to do? How else would he get on television if he wasn't pretending to be attacked?
You know, this would be funny, except it is serious to a lot of people who have seen their faith cleansed from the public square systematically.
Bob, are you suggesting, Bob, that someone can't celebrate Christmas in America? I mean, tell me about the person who can escape these celebrations.
Get a word in here.
Go ahead, Bob.
I'm talking about things like in Ridgeway, Wisconsin, where the school children in the public school were told they couldn't sing Silent Night, so they substituted O Cold Night. You know, I think when you take Jesus out of anything, it gets pretty cold, so it's apt. But it's outrageous. They had children actually singing a bastardized version of Silent Night.
Well, Bob,
you see,
this
Christmas
may come as a shock to you, Bob.
Holiday trees.
But I don't consider Jesus the Messiah. And so if you're going to ask me to praise Jesus, I'm going to be a little offended.
Well,
I don't think the singing of the song, you can find other songs to sing. So what about Silent Night?
So because you're offended, none of those other kids can celebrate the great heritage of Christmas.
I'm not the one who said they couldn't
music.
Do that. No, I'm not the
See,
one who
said you're a Grinch,
do.
Sir.
But you're trying
That's
to force.
All you are.
Why are you trying to force conversions on people?
Let me ask you guys.
You are singing a Christmas carol.
Absolutely.
Let me ask you guys about the pressure that's been put on stores, for example. American Family Association called for the boycott of Target stores the weekend after Thanksgiving, accusing the chain of banning the phrase Merry Christmas from its stores, a charge that Target denies. Pressure from conservative groups look like it has an impact here. Complaints from the Catholic League. Walmart agreed to create a Christmas page on its website rather than a holiday page. And then Macy's, which is, you know, perhaps more closely associated with Christmas than any other retailer, sent activists a letter touting its use of Merry Christmas in ads and store windows after it was the target of a small-scale boycott last year. I mean, this is pretty amazing, all these boycotts of pressuring all these stores, these businesses, Bob.
Well, these businesses are taking millions and millions of dollars in from Christians in particular and others who celebrate Christmas, giving gifts in the name of the Christmas season, and yet they're so worried about offending people like my opponent here that they don't want to mention the word Christmas. People
Bob,
are sick and tired.
It's the holiday time. I'm not your opponent. I do agree with Bob that I think what should happen is companies should calculate how much money they're getting from people who are celebrating Christmas and provide exactly that much amount of Merry Christmas, because that is exactly how I would want any type of religious holiday to be celebrated.
Would we be having the same argument about Hanukkah? I'm curious.
Would we have the same argument about Hanukkah?
Hanukkah is not the same as Christmas. It's not a major holiday for one thing. And this is the Christmas season.
No.
That's why billions of dollars are really being spent. It's Christmas.
Well, it's
but
also the winter solstice
for a minute.
Season, too.
I don't know, Bob. People might argue that Hanukkah is just as big as Christmas.
Well, I would have to agree with Bob. I would have to agree with Bob on that.
And none of them says Hanukkah is as big
as Christmas. No, Hanukkah is not a high holiday. Our high holidays are Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which I'm sure Bob has been protesting why there aren't more Yom Kippur sales or Rosh Hashanah sales. Well, I mean, why shouldn't they be, right, Bob?
Well, if that was associated with that holiday, then maybe I would join you, but it never has been.
Bob, have you ever protested Martin Luther King Day not being celebrated? I mean, do you resent when people don't say Happy Martin Luther King Day a month out in advance?
You know what,
let's put this in perspective.
Bob, I want you to be able to respond, but what's interesting, the CNA USA Today Gallup poll, the question was, is it okay for people to say Merry Christmas? 88% said yes, 11% said no.
Yeah, well, 96% of Americans celebrate Christmas. So why would we care about the,
so what's the
offending
war,
the 4% that get offended by it? I don't know anybody who'd be offended by someone wishing someone a Merry Christmas.
Why do we care? Why are we making all the changes, Bob? I mean, we do.
Yeah,
we do.
Bob, where's the war?
Where are
the battle lines? I mean, you can tell me that Silent Night can't be sung in one school in Wisconsin.
That's just one example. That's not the totality.
Well,
so don't
create that. What is the totality? The totality is 80. You brought it up. The totality is 88% of the American population has no problem with it. You don't care about the people who don't celebrate Christmas. Fine. But I don't celebrate Christmas, and I don't care. So why are we wasting everybody's time? It's so that you can fundraise. That's why, Bob.
I'd like
and
to
I
put
think
this
you know
in
that's
perspective.
The truth.
Bob, I got to let you have the final thought, Bob.
Okay. You know, when the Nazis moved into Austria in
1936... Oh, that is offensive, Bob.
They immediately
to raise
removed
Nazis
from the schools.
That is
read about it.
Hold on, Sam. Let Bob make his point. Let Bob make his point. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Maria Trapp wrote the story of the Trapp Singers that's in The Sound of Music. And she said she sent her kids to school after the Nazis took over, and they came home and said, Mama, we can't say the word Christmas anymore. It's now winter holiday. I think that ought to disturb people
that's moving toward
that kind of attitude in this country.
The Puritans also outlawed Christmas. The founding fathers of this country would fine you in Massachusetts if you celebrated Christmas at the beginning. So don't talk about Nazis, Bob. I think that's really inappropriate. Why do you have to bring hate to this Christmas and holiday season?
Frost.
That's so sad, Bob.
Well, it's the truth.
Sad.
You ought to read the book yourself.
Well, Bob, it's just sad that you have to raise Nazis when you're talking about Christmas and the holiday season. And we all know that Christmas actually, Tannenbaum, it's a German holiday. Bob, I'm really, really disappointed in you.
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but if you can't understand the force of history...
To bring
I'm not
Bob?
Who are you calling a Nazi?
We got to let it there.
I'm not.
We could probably continue.
You are, sir.
Sam Cedar.
I'm offended.
Air America Radio.
Very much offended.
Bob Knight, Director of Culture and Family Institute. Gentlemen, obviously, hey, it's a discussion. Everyone's talking about it, that is for sure. Or a lot of people are talking about it, I should say.
Yes.
Now I'm just curious. Do I say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy Hanukkah? What do you guys...
I'd like to say Merry Christmas.
Don't cut and run from the war on Christmas.
Thanks, gentlemen. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
We are back on the Majority Report, Air America Radio, streaming at airamericaradio.com. Blogging at majorityreportradio.com. My name is Sam Cedar. I am joined tonight by my good friend... one of my oldest friends, actually, in the world.
It's been a long time.
John Benjamin, star of Pilot Season and Who's the Caboose and Beat Cops. also, I want to commend Stephen Sherrill tonight for his music, although I have to say it's starting to get a little bit bland. It's a little bit one...
What was that one?
One mood.
That one I lost.
One mood. A little bit too narrow, almost, Stephen.
I don't know about that.
Now, on the phone, we have... and we appreciate him joining us because it is very difficult to... We've had trouble getting people from these organizations on the show in the past couple of days. Francis Egerton, he is, I guess, the director, the executive director of the American Federation to Save Christmas. Francis, thank you very much for joining us.
Merry Christmas.
Ed, Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays.
Thank you very much. Well, Merry Christmas is the appropriate response. When a person addresses you with a Merry Christmas, you reciprocate by repeating Merry Christmas.
Well, it is happy holidays. Happy Holidays is legitimate too, isn't it?
Well, it's legitimate in terms of economics, perhaps, but happy holidays is more of a generalized term. If a person were to come and approach you and say good afternoon, you wouldn't say good night or good morning. You'd say good afternoon, adding some inflection that way by raising the end of the word. Just like Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas means Merry Christmas. Not happy holidays could be talking about any holiday whatsoever. But thank you. Anyway, this is the spirit of giving. This is a joyous season, a wonderful time to be an American, a wonderful time to be alive. It's the Christmas season, now, and I appreciate being on your show, and I'm sorry you've had trouble getting folks to come on.
Okay, well, Mr. Edgerton or Francis, why does Christmas need to be saved? I mean, well, your organization is called the Federation to Save Christmas. Is Christmas in some type of danger?
Well, this is not a personal attack on you, sir, or Janine, but...
Well, no, Janine is not with us tonight. It's John Benjamin.
Yeah, this isn't Janine.
Well, I can tell a throat infection when I hear a throat infection, and I know you two get silly every now and then, and I'm sorry that you've got...
No, this is definitely not... I'm not Janine.
In any case, Christmas needs to be saved because, once again, the media has missed the mark in terms of what's really going on, or at least the liberal left-wing media has missed the mark. And, you know, we got to do what we can do as listeners and as Americans to just put the word out there that there are some individuals, mostly of a jealous portion of certain religious groups that don't have the gift of Christmas, that have... for reasons we still don't quite understand, have taken upon themselves in small groups or sects or cells to ruin it.
Hold on for 1 second. I need to stop you at a couple of places. First of all, you say that the liberal media is not reporting this. But in fact, if you turn on any cable network now, their lead story is some story about saving Christmas. I've watched these things. I can't figure it out. Now you're saying that there are sects of jealous people... Mm-hmm. Of certain religions that are doing what?
They are stealing the Christmas holiday from those individuals that want to preserve that age-old tradition, decorating a tree.
Okay, wait a second. But,
stringing lights onto shrubbery.
First of all, who is doing this? I mean, where is this happening?
Certain members of the Jewish community and certain members of the Kabbalah organization.
The Kabbalah?
The Madonna-based...
What is the Kabbalah?
Voodoo. Are you talking about the Kabbalah?
The Kabbalah.
Voodoo Judaism, the Kabbalah. Kabbalah.
That's Kabbalah.
Kabbalah.
Is there a Kabbalah?
Straightforward Jewish individuals that want to raise a ruckus.
Give me one example of what you're talking about.
This was my rationale for starting AFSC.
How many people are in your organization?
Presently, we have a significant number of people that have signed on. And in the greater Huntington area, in Sudbury, Massachusetts, we've got a group. And Binghamton, New York has started a group. We're hoping to expand into Michigan.
Okay, well, all right, let's get back to this. Give me one example. In any of those places...
Okay, I'd be happy to give you a number of 1117, missing wreath, $10. 1121, replace three blinking string lights, $3.98. 1124, electronic Santa...
Wait, what are you talking about? You
think $5 service call, $48.73 rewire. That wasn't an accident, that was an act of vandalism. 127, stolen wreath number two from my front door, $10. 1210, front shrubbery light string lights, gone, $22. Replaced a whole set of blue lights, those are expensive. Rudolph sleigh display, gone, $170 to replace it. 1214, in-house Georgia pine Christmas tree and all keepsake ornaments stolen from house between 8 and 4 that day. Priceless. That's why...
Wait a second. You're reading off things that were stolen from your house.
From my house, indeed. And I've got lists, official police reports from individuals throughout the country that have also experienced... And this is a phenomenon...
Wait, and you're claiming this is that these things were stolen by Jews and Kabbalists.
I hate to... Don't kill the messenger, but that's what's happening in this country right now, is that the Jewish people are trying to make an end run based on the work that we're doing in Iraq in Palestine to try to free them up, to have a place to hang their hat, and it's you give them an inch, and they're going to take a mile. I'm talking about the Jewish people that want to turn sections of the United States, and in fact the whole United States, into a giant Israel. By taking our Christmas away from it, if you do watch the right wing, the people that are telling the truth and speaking the truth...
You're saying the Jews are trying to turn... You're saying the Jews are trying to turn this country into Israel by stealing your Christmas wreath. How do you know it was a Jew that stole your Christmas wreath?
Well, sir, I don't imagine there would be any other person that would be willing to do that. We know that the Muslims use explosions. We know that the Jewish people are softer.
Wait, the Muslims use you're saying Muslims use explosions to do what?
To make their point.
You're saying the Jews use stealing of wreaths and Christmas trees to make their point?
Were there any other wreaths in your neighborhood that were stolen?
Yes.
So it wasn't just your house?
No.
Okay.
There were a significant number of people not only have had wreaths stolen, strings of lights have shown up missing.
And you're assuming that the people who took these were Jews because they were against Christmas.
Well, I'm saying that when I...
How do you know the people who stole it didn't use it to hang up at their house?
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as Hanukkah lights. You and I both know that. We're educated men. And you do know that there, you know, a Jewish person, you know, first and foremost, is lost anyway. By not accepting Jesus Christ and celebrating the birth of Christ on December 25th, 2,004 years of peace, love, and joy in the world...
Sir,
already are a little confused, but
sir,
you see the smirks,
sir,
outside of the people in synagogues. There's a little bit of head nodding. When you,
you're saying the Jews outside of synagogues are head nodding
American,
and smirking because they stole your Christmas lights.
Listen.
You know what, sir? I'm going to have to say goodbye because we're running out of time. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Happy holidays.
And Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah to you, sir.
Goodbye, Janine.
No, it's well, John Benjamin.
Shalom.
Happy Hanukkah.
Shalom.
Ah.
All right. No, there it is.
That's, that, you know.
The Jews are stealing Christmas lights. That's what these people are arguing, apparently.
Well, he had some good points.
He had some good points.
Now, Sam Cedar.
We are back. I'm talking with Sarah Posner on our special Cedar on Sunday book show. She is a writer for the American Prospect. She writes The Fundamentalist there at American Prospect Online, and she is the author of the new God's Prophets, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. Sarah, tell us, what is the prosperity gospel?
The prosperity gospel is a non-denominational religious movement which basically tells its followers that God wants you to be rich. Jesus was a wealthy man, and it's God's will for believers that they be prosperous in life.
Jesus was a wealthy man?
Yep. I bet you didn't know that.
I got to be honest. I didn't personally. I wasn't around at the time. But my understanding of him was that he was rather humble and just walked around in a robe.
Yes, but that vow of poverty stuff, they don't believe that. They believe that Jesus was wealthy, and so they believe in these religious principles that basically said that, you know, God wants you to be rich. People who are believers in Jesus Christ have the ability to call their wealth into existence through what they call positive confession. They believe in revelation knowledge, which basically means that you ignore what you're observing around you in the world, say ignore what you read in the newspaper, because you, as a believer, have a direct line to God. And you can get all of your knowledge from receiving revelations from God. And because you're a believer, you're entitled to great wealth and great health. And so they believe in faith healing and so on and so forth. And they've also adopted Oral Roberts' formulation that if you sow a seed, meaning if you give money to your televangelist or your pastor, you will reap a harvest, meaning that you'll get like a supernatural financial return on your investment. So when you flip on your Trinity Broadcasting Network or whatever religious network you get on your cable provider and you see these televangelists talking about giving the money, that's what they're preaching. They're preaching the prosperity gospel, or it's also known as the Word of Faith movement.
The first thing that comes to mind is just, wow. How many people are there that subscribe to this prosperity gospel?
Well, there hasn't been any measurement of this, in part because these churches are non-denominational, so there's no central authority or headquarters for the denomination that might keep track of how many members there are or anything like that.
And I presume they're not handing out their so-called donor list, or I guess it should be investor list.
No, yeah, they're definitely not doing that. But, you know, there are thousands of these churches all across the country. Many of them have memberships of, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 people. And a lot of the major figures who you see on television, somebody like Kenneth Copeland or Rod Parsley or Benny Hinn, have protégés, people that they've educated and cultivated to go out and start their own churches. So, you know, you can find it anywhere in America. You can find it in the Bible Belt. You can find it in Manhattan. You can find it in California. It doesn't, you know, it knows no geographical boundaries. And so there are probably, you know, millions of Americans who adhere to it in probably varying degrees.
This is just, it's fascinating to me, Sarah. When someone has a protege, when you say like Benny Hinn has a protege, do you think he gets part of the cut?
Well, that I don't know. I mean, like, for example, let's take Rod Parsley, who's, you know, campaigned with John McCain.
Right.
And he has, his church is called World Harvest Church, and he has World Harvest Church Ministerial Fellowship, which he says has 2,000 members. And I think that they pay a fee, you know, to belong to it, and then they operate what they call under his covering. It's like he provides them some sort of spiritual protection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so he's, you know, he's basically taught them how to run a church the same way he runs the church, you know, that you're constantly demanding of your parishioners that they give you money, that they tithe to you every week. You live in this big fancy house and have a private jet, and that's, you know, that's the way the world goes round for them. So I don't know. I mean, there's no evidence that they're getting a cut, but they're definitely helping to disseminate this prosperity gospel, basically franchising it.
All right, we got to take a break. We're talking to Sarah Posner. She is a journalist who writes the column The Fundamentalist for the American Prospect Online. Her new book is God's Prophets: Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. When we come back, we will try and get a sense of more about this prosperity gospel, and in particular, the relationship that John McCain has with some of these prosperity gospel pastors, I guess. And then we will also talk about what's happening in the Senate right now, an effort led by Senator Charles Grassley to investigate some of these prosperity gospel pastors. We got to take a break. It is our special book show on Cedar on Sunday.
Cedar on Sundays. Cedar.
We are back. It is Cedar on Sunday, our special book show. I'm talking to Sarah Posner, journalist and author. Her new book is God's Prophets: Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. We're talking about the prosperity gospel. So if I'm hearing you correctly, Sarah, by just keep giving money to the leader, you will not as a direct cause, not directly, but because of what you're putting out there, it will create some other source of income. If I got that down right?
Yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, people who get swept up into these churches believe that by tithing to the pastor, they will get rich, and that if they don't, that's a sign that they didn't have enough faith. Like, for the book, I interviewed this woman who used to belong to John Hagee's church, and she was a member for 10 years. She tithed for 10 years. She made something like $20,000 a year and lived in, you know, a rent-subsidized apartment. She had, you know, been in an abusive relationship and lived with her three kids in this tiny apartment and tithed week after week after week.
How much money do you think she gave?
Several thousand dollars.
Okay.
But, you know, for her, that was a lot of money. And
right,
she was hoping
over
that
10%.
She would prosper. That's what she believed. That's what he taught. And she told me that she felt like she was a failure, that, you know, she wasn't getting rich, and that must be because she didn't have enough faith.
Wow. I mean, that actually makes sense. I mean, if you believe enough in the notion that you're going to give them money, then it only makes sense that if you don't get money back, you perceive it as your own failure.
Exactly.
That you haven't
maybe given enough, or you didn't believe enough when you gave that money.
That's right.
I presume there's a lot of people like that woman walking around out there.
I would imagine so.
And now, Sarah, I want to talk about John McCain, he who proclaimed that people like Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell were agents of intolerance, and then, of course, went and kissed the hand of Jerry Falwell, and then Jerry Falwell goes and dies on him before the election, if you can believe it. Talk about bad luck. But he seems to have found a new crew of people that he has sought their endorsement and received it. I'm talking specifically John Hagee and Ron Parsley. Tell us about John Hagee.
Well, John Hagee is a prosperity preacher, as we discussed, and he's also the head of a group called Christians United for Israel, which is a Christian Zionist group which lobbies in Washington and believes that that they need to support Israel in anticipation of the end of days and the second coming of Jesus Christ.
And they actually are very much for an attack on Iran to actually start this World War III, which will get that ball rolling.
That's right. Hagee, in 2006, wrote a book called Jerusalem Countdown, where he basically advocated for war with Iran in order to fulfill God's plan, as he sees it, for the Middle East.
Which, if I'm not mistaken, involves two-thirds of Jews burning in eternal hellfire, which, of course, is a huge concern of mine because I have eczema. And eternal hellfire is horrible for my skin.
Yeah, it's pretty bad for your health. And it's not just the Jews, but, you know, the Muslims and everybody else who's not a Christian. But, you know, Christians United for Israel, despite its very bizarre view of biblical prophecy, has been welcomed into neoconservative foreign policy circles in Washington. So, for example, their summit last summer in Washington, McCain came and spoke to it. This coming summer, speakers include people like Bill Kristol and Daniel Pipes and, you know, people who are sort of at the forefront of planning our terrible escapades in the Middle East.
Well, you say despite, but I mean, this makes a lot of sense. They have different reasons why they want to do this.
That's right.
And my presumption is that John McCain is not really looking for a religious or spiritual apocalypse, though I think he's driving for a more tangible one. But we've heard about this before. I think in fact you've reported that Elliot Abrams, the Undersecretary for the Middle East, welcomed these types into the White House to discuss.
That's right. And I think it was their 2006 summit, and Hagee and others were in Washington, and they had a meeting with Elliot Abrams about various issues. And this was when, during the war between Hezbollah and Israel in the summer of 2006. And Hagee and his entourage were encouraging the Bush administration not to try to force a ceasefire. They felt that Israel should be able to fight it out. And they have very extreme views on Middle East foreign policy, which are informed by what they think the Bible prophesies about what's going to happen there. So they think the Bible prophesies all this horrible, bloody, violent confrontation between Jews and Christians against Muslims, and so that's why that's what propels their forays into foreign policy.
And of course, McCain has also somehow, it's not problematic for him that Hagee has called the Catholic religion the whore of Babylon, and that Hurricane Katrina was a result of a gay pride march.
Well, you'll actually be kind of surprised to find out that I'm going to defend Hagee about the Catholic Church comment. he has said some things about the Catholic Church, but that particular clip that Bill Donahue of the Catholic League put out on the internet, Hagee never said the Catholic Church. He called it the apostate church. And if you understand Hagee's teachings on the end of days, he thinks that there's what he calls the apostate church is basically like all organized religion is sort of spiraling out of control and becoming veering away from its intended, what he views as its intended purposes and goals. So I actually don't think he was singling out the Catholic Church in that comment, but that's how Bill Donahue interpreted it. But having defended Hagee for that particular comment, you are right. I mean, he has said just crazy things about, you know, what you said about Hurricane Katrina. He's extremely anti-gay. In my book, you know, I have just a compilation of things that he has said about women and feminists and environmentalists. And he has words for almost every group of people that don't line up with his view of how they should behave biblically.
Well, I'm looking forward to the time where it is revealed that he has been hiring a so-called, quote-unquote, masseuse. But be that as it may, we just have a minute or two here. Give me an update on what's happening in the Senate Finance Committee. Senator Charles Grassley, Republican, is investigating a number of these people. When I hear a Republican is investigating one of these people, I get the sense that we may be seeing another one of those Abramoff Indian tribes deals where there's a couple of these televangelists that other televangelists want to get out of the picture. Am I being a little bit am I being too instructed by past history with Republican investigations?
Grassley is concerned about the tax code and whether these televangelists are violating their tax-exempt status by using tax-exempt donor funds for personal use, say for funding a private for-profit company that's run by their family or private jets that they use for personal use or mansions or any number of like luxuries that a lot of them have. So he says he's just looking at the tax code. Now, the televangelists are raising these sort of internal Christian war issues by claiming that, well, Grassley is a Baptist and he doesn't like us because we come out of a Pentecostal tradition. So there is a little bit of that kind of internal war going on. But there are a lot of Christians who are very disturbed about the prosperity gospel and about the televangelist's use of the tax-exempt money, and they are welcoming the Grassley investigation. That's not to say that the televangelists don't have their defenders who claim that Grassley is, it's the government intruding on church affairs. So the latest is that four of the six televangelists have cooperated with the investigation, and two of them, Kenneth Copeland and Creflo Dollar, who is a Copeland protege, have refused to cooperate and are asking the IRS to investigate them instead. And the reason they're doing that is because to initiate an IRS investigation, a high-level Treasury official would have to approve an investigation, and the entire investigation is confidential and secret, as opposed to a Senate investigation where some of the matters might become public.
And then, of course, if you also are one of those people who want to abolish the IRS, this is a great way to demonize them.
I guess you're right. I hadn't thought about that.
All right. Sarah Posner, journalist. She writes a column every week at the Fundamentalist List for the American Prospect Online. Her new book is God, Prophets, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. A little bit scary, I got to say, Sarah. But, alternatively scary and sometimes maybe not necessarily on purpose, sort of funny, too, and sad. But I appreciate your joining us. Sarah Posner, God's Prophets, Faith, Fraud, and the Republican Crusade for Values Voters. Thanks a lot, Sarah.
Thanks, Sam.